I'm Brian Myers.
I'm Mike Ritalik.
I'm Becky Haddad.
And this is Ow Pellets, a podcast featuring tips for ag teachers. We are your agricultural education resource across the web, sharing research-based tips and tackling the tough questions facing agriculture teachers every day.
Welcome to Ow Pellets, Tips for Ag Teachers podcast. This is Brian, Becky, and Mike, and we are once again here by the Ow Pellet with some phenomenal guests to talk about some great topics here in Ag Ed. And like we were just talking here off air before we got started, we're gonna nerd out on the coolness that is agricultural education. We are having with us today Kayla Marsh and Chris Rankin. Welcome to Ow Pellets.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Excellent. Well, we are excited to have you here with us. Kayla, why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about who you are and a brief introduction for everybody.
Hi, my name is Kayla Marsh. I am a current PhD student at Oklahoma State University. I'm excited to be able to teach future teachers. That's my goal. I started as an ag teacher in the state of Florida. I opened a middle school ag program in Polk County. Taught there for 3 years before teaching for another six in Hillsborough County before going to grad school, doing my master's at Clemson, and then being recruited at Oklahoma State. So excited to be here and share today.
Now, Kayla, is it allowed? You just said Polk County. You did not use its full proper name.
Oh, Imperial Polk County? I'm sorry.
Imperial Polk County, and extra Ow Pellets bonus points to whoever can reply on social media on why it is Imperial Polk County. All right, Chris, go right ahead.
So, hello, everyone. My name is Chris Rankin. I am a PhD candidate at Oklahoma State University. I'm actually getting ready to graduate here this upcoming May. I taught for 5 years in Central Missouri, just 15 minutes south of the University of Missouri, where I got my undergraduate degree. Had lots of fun, lots of exciting times there. Had lots of national winning teams, American degree recipients, state officers, and it was just a real fun time. And after 5 years, I felt like I wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to come back to the college world and start teaching future ag teachers to help continue the profession.
Excellent. Well, we are glad to have both of you here with us today. And so, Kayla, to get us started here, why don't you give us an overview of the topic for today's conversation?
Yeah, thank you. So we're looking at the needs of Oklahoma ag teachers and where the gaps exist in supporting them in their practice. There's a lot of effort and a lot of work that we do to put on PD. Oklahoma is really good about cooperating with our career and technical groups here. We have a very active ag teacher board that puts on ag teacher to ag teacher PD. But what makes it effective and where are those needs and where are those overlaps is really what we were trying to look at, specific to 21st century needs and programs and what's happening now.
All right. You've kept us in suspense. What are the needs of Oklahoma ag teachers?
Oh, man. So needs that were found through our study that overlapped between region and career phase were access to essential resources, curriculum resources, support from local school administration, work-life balance, and respect. We kind of expected some of the essential resources and curriculum resources. Oklahoma previously, so 2015, Career Tech used to support curriculum writing for ag teachers in the state, and meaning it was updated and provided, and it was printed materials. In 2015, they stopped updating materials. They can reorder existing, but there was a gap. Like, they are no longer updating or creating new things or adapting it to platforms where they could use it digitally, which also took an impact, you know, because we know COVID happened after that. So without it being updated, teachers have tried some different things. IFCB, some teachers attempted to use. Currently, the university is doing some work to help teachers get certified in CASE, providing some summer institutes. But it's a need that ag teachers feel and are really looking for some quality curriculum and resources to support them in their practice. One that we didn't expect to find necessarily were the ones talking about respect, the depth of which they expressed work-life balance, and then the change in the support that they felt from local administration.
That continuum of needs, we're going from things like, you know, curriculum resources, professional development, up to the respect I feel in my classroom, and some of those, like, how do we think about the needs that you excavated as part of this study, and how do we kind of start to process all those different things together? Because those are, that's feels like a jump between what we might need for professional development and getting respect from administration in my school.
Oh, great. So, to talk about that. So my thesis research, not to nerd out too much, I did some qualitative interviews with ag teachers in the states of Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina to see what their needs currently in their classrooms were. At the same time, I wanted to see if faculty and supporters, so ag ed expert supporters, saw the same needs. So we conducted a Delphi study. And that Delphi produced a validated list of 42 items within Florida, or again, looking at Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina to see, did those needs that they saw of teachers represent what teachers were also saying their needs were? And what we found was there's some really unique overlaps of where they are. And while we can see that teachers are struggling in an area, our ability to solve it or know the depth of where we need to provide support is where the gap is. We can't get to them where they are to give them the resources that they need. So getting them in an accessible way is something that's important. So when finishing my master's and my thesis and came to Oklahoma, we used that 42-item list to see if it was effective here or represented 21st century needs of Oklahoma ag teachers as well. Items that did not, and honestly, our only one that really fell below their five identified needs were training on online delivery. I guess thinking here, Oklahoma, the pandemic was handled a little differently. So online instruction and hybrid instruction needs aren't the same as what they were. They feel like they were confident in pedagogical content knowledge. They felt like they were competent with diversity, equity, and inclusion needs. And lesson plan training was something they also didn't feel like they needed at this time.
So thinking about some of those needs and those overlaps, what do some of those things tell us about the teaching career? And then what do some of those things tell us about the teachers that you were working with?
So when we look at teachers by career phase, there's a large chunk of our Oklahoma ag teachers that are traditionally sold or certified that are towards the end of their career. So they're like career teachers identified here. In contrast, we have a really big new career teacher population, but almost 50% of that now, which is a rapidly increasing percentage, is alternatively certified teachers. So I think it's unique to see that dynamic work out, because I think our traditionally certified teachers maybe feel confident with that pedagogy and the ability to teach, but that's why they're asking for instructional resources, because what they've relied on for so long isn't in existence anymore. But they also feel like they're able to lesson plan. They don't need, I don't think they had to lesson plan like I did in Florida. So Florida, we weren't given curriculum. We had to go develop our ability curriculum, but we have really strong state standards that guide us for being able to do that and plan and develop those curriculum frameworks. How that need's been filled here previously has supported teachers differently, and now they don't have that, which I think is part of why maybe they don't value the lesson planning as much. It is a unique finding, and we found it in a couple of different places through needs assessments here, looking at curriculum and resources and how they plan. So I don't really know the why of that one yet.
I would also contend to say there that talking with other faculty here at Oklahoma State, decades ago, about 30 years ago, PD was a big, robust part of the state. And then for some reason or another, it kind of fell off, and the professional development piece was just kind of so like lackluster, for lack of a better term. And only within the last 5 to 10 years has it really started to pick back up with some of our early to mid-career teachers who are really seeing the need for this, and they're understanding that, like, okay, our state's no longer producing curriculum, and our state has not adopted CASE curriculum. We just hosted our first CASE Institute this past summer, and we certified 24 ag teachers. Well, these new teachers are now seeing, like, oh, hey, this is what we're asking for. It provides us with lesson plans. It provides us with an updated curriculum, and it continues to be updated. And it's something that, like, okay, we've been asking for this. Is this the end-all, be-all answer? Maybe not, but it's a start. And so now our teachers, they're starting to kind of see, like, okay, maybe we don't need a lesson plan as much, but we need to update our curriculum, because the curriculum we are using is 10 to 12 years old. It hasn't been updated, and so we're using completely outdated numbers, completely outdated information, and so now our teachers are like, okay, we need to do something, and we're trying our best to see what we can do for them and provide them, but they're now seeing these other alternative ways in which they can start to meet their needs, and so now we're hoping to continue that trend and then also focus on those other areas where this institution or this business or this model is working for teachers here. How can we help in other areas? And that's kind of the big piece of this needs assessment, was is to see where can we help and where can we assist our future teachers.
Yeah, and I, to build off of that, Chris, I think what I'm hearing is there's kind of been a little bit of a shift in needs based upon new generation of ag teachers that are coming in and as people are moving through their careers. And so how do we assist and help? And I think you started talking about that, but what can we do and what should we be providing to help build on those needs for professional development?
I think part of that is us getting this information and working with our career tech to let them see what teachers are telling us their needs are, so that we can provide trainings that are relevant, and not just trainings, but supports and resources and things that they can practically use. I think it's great that we developed these one-time PDs that we get to give them over summer, but to be honest, teachers aren't struggling with that need over summer, so it's not realistic for them to put into practice when we're giving it to them. So unless we can make these resources more attainable when they need them where they are, and we try to meet them that way, we're going to continue to struggle with them being able to use these resources to meet those needs.
Another thing that's kind of started to pick up some steam here is this first and second year mentorship program, first and second year teacher programs, where they bring students, the career tech kind of leads it right now, but we're starting to see more of a partnership being developed between the university and career tech in this area, where first and second year teachers, we see a lot of attrition sometimes where they come in, they teach 1 to 2 years, and it's like, okay, this is overwhelming. I don't want to handle the livestock anymore. I'm going to go to a different career field. Now we're starting to bring them in more 4 or 5 times a year, 6 times a year. And it's a partnership between Career Tech and Oklahoma State where we're coming in. It's like, okay, what is it that you're struggling with and how can we provide you with support? And then in 2-3 months, okay, are you still struggling with that? Is there something else we can provide you? And it's these multiple touch points that we can do throughout the first, at least the first 2 years, to try and help them get over that initial hump and start getting and building towards that. And that helps to develop and foster even more relationships. I mean, I have 3 emails right now that came in over this weekend from ag teachers asking about support for different CDs and LDs that I've helped teachers across the state with. And so I'm going to see what I can do there. And it's these multiple touch points and just helping them and showcasing that, okay, yes, we're here to develop our pre-service teachers, but we're also here for our in-service teachers too. And we're here to help them. And I feel like addressing their needs through these needs assessments can really help point us in the areas in which it's like, okay, this is your strength. Is there a way that you can help them? Okay, you have someone else who has a different need. Send them to me and I'll see what I can do to help them. And we kind of build off each other's strengths and try and find the best person to work with them and help mentor these teachers, whether they're in years 1 and 2 or years 33, 34, 35, and help kind of foster what it is that they're needing at that point in time.
One of the ongoing conversations we're having here on Outpellets is around mentorship. And you mentioned mentoring here a little bit. And so maybe what were some of your findings you saw about the mentor relationship and how people saw that to be a possible opportunity? And maybe some of the data regarding various career stages on who can help who with various ideas and various needs that they have.
Yeah. Again, so also part of our population, our early career teachers, we see a higher percentage that are, again, that female, or it's female population demographic-wise is growing, and alternatively certified teachers versus our late career teachers, which are heavily male and traditionally certified. Unique between our male and female demographics is there was only one of their top five that differ between the two, and females wanted more purposeful professional development, and our males wanted respect within the profession, which could potentially be an opportunity for them to be recognized by mentoring and providing some of that access and training, and also meeting some of those needs that our female teachers were asking for. When we look at career phase, we saw an overlap between our early career teachers, as expected, having the highest amount of need reported through all of the items that they acknowledge. But the overlap between them and our late career teachers was support from local administration. They both felt like that's something that they needed help with. And I think it needs to be more than us just providing ways and helping support them with PR for their programs, but also building value for what our programs can do and what that is curriculum-wise. And I think mentoring them on how to sell what we're teaching and our program as a whole is a big piece of that for winning over our local administration. So hopefully revitalizing some of the curriculum practices, resources, and methods they're using will help with that for both early and late career teachers. Early and mid, we saw an overlap of needs where they talk about work-life balance. And I don't know that late career teachers necessarily have that figured out. I think they're just at a point where they just cope with what they've put themselves into. We know our teachers do what they do as a product of their heart. I think early and mid-career teachers, that's still something that they're trying to figure out, is how much is too much to be giving up in those bubbles, and where do we put those boundaries? So that might be an area where maybe late-career teachers either talk about missteps or talk about where they did finally set those lines and boundaries to help them be successful. But our early-career teachers felt more confident when it came to using digital technology and having access to some of the current resources to incorporate in instruction, which is an area that our late-career teachers felt like they were lacking, but might be an area that they could support them, as well as assisting with training FFA teams. And I think that also kind of speaks to applications. I don't know necessarily what it is about them, their willingness or their ability, or they just get applications, which is an area that late-career teachers, I don't know if it's that they haven't previously engaged in, because Oklahoma is pretty competitive, but maybe it's as those rubrics update, they need someone to help update of what they look like. So that's an area that our early career teachers could help provide support for our late career teachers.
I think one of the things that's really striking me listening as you answer that question is how these needs, they span the career. They span the different areas of our program. And so I think some of me has to wonder a little bit, like, what gives when we think about the career overall, or we think about spanning nature of these needs? How can we use these needs to kind of think about where teachers' needs are relative to potential change we need to create or need to be thinking about?
So we know that teachers are the most significant factor in a student's future success. And we know ag teachers do what they do as a product of their heart and their dedication to their students. So it's really easy to see how teachers put themselves in a position to be overworked and overrun and not want to say no, which is where these boundaries are hard to define and place limits on, especially when we talk about how much we have comprehensive programs that requires a lot of them to invest in. But we have to know where teachers are. So if they're just surviving in those classroom needs, if they're surviving because they don't have support from administration for what they're doing in programs, they don't have someone who believes in the value of what they're doing, or they don't have what they need to survive in their classroom on a daily basis, then they can't reach those higher goals that they have. They can't do the best for their students because they can't be the most effective teacher because they're struggling with these lower level needs. Part of my teaching philosophy is that people don't know, care what you know until you know what they care, until they know that you care. I'll say it right eventually. So it also comes back to Maslow's over Bloom. We can't worry about kids reading higher level instructional thinking goals if they're not safe, insecure, and have what they need to function. And that's where our teachers are right now. So we see gaps in teachers' wellness and ability to cope with stress, ability to have the resources they need in a daily classroom. And I think when we think about PD and mentorship, we try to respect our teachers by providing them resources at that level of respect, because we don't want to undermine them. We don't want them to feel like we don't believe that they have the ability or the capacity. But in truth, they need something that they can use in their classroom every day that's realistic and solves a problem. Back to kind of, you know, adult learning theory. So they need something that they can use right now to solve the problem, to help support them moving on. And I think the more we can think about meeting teachers' needs at that basic level, they need to fill that gap now, instead of talking to them to work them through it. They don't have capacity to work through it. They don't have capacity to rely on that level of relationship or respect, or sometimes they're so stuck in their classrooms, they can't even work to develop the relationships they need to meet those needs, which I think is another place for mentorship. If we could provide those lower needs and access to the community of people they need to support them, we can make some major change for teacher wellness.
I think it's really interesting to think about careers from a Maslow's perspective and thinking about what are those base needs that need to be met. But also then, and Chris, I might have stepped on your toes here, but how do we move them? How do we move them up? You know, how do we make sure we're starting at the right level, but then how do we keep moving up? The goal isn't to stay at that survival mode. And I think arguably we do want to make sure that we're moving beyond just those base needs. How do we get beyond just meeting at the survival level?
One thing that can be used with Kayla's model is, as it becomes more widely accepted, and more used in different areas, is start incorporating it into some of our courses where it's possible. As you said, Dr. Dennis, the data says is like these are career long. Some of these are career crossover needs. So this is a need that's spanning the entire career. How can we possibly address this within our teacher preparation programs? Are there areas in maybe a foundations of philosophy class, maybe a teaching methods course, that we can address some of these needs now and showcase, okay, we understand that this is what our current in-service teachers are saying. This is what the people out in the field are saying. We're going to try and address this now and continue to address this, but we need to be upfront with you. This is going to be something that we're going to need your help on as well, is that you need to be upfront with us and say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need. And maybe there are ways that we can address those early on to try and help. Maybe not fully like make it to where like, oh, I'm up in the higher needs, like self-esteem of Maslow's and this, that, and the other. Maybe it's just getting above that base level of a need. And it's just trying to build them early on in their careers and even before their careers begin. I feel like that's a very big possible way to look at things. But I also feel if we introduce this to our pre-service teachers and our early career teachers, is that they can then start doing self-evaluations. And it's not so much us going back through every 2 to 5 years. Okay, what do you need now? What do you need now? What do you need now? They can self-evaluate themselves and let them have those honest conversations with themselves or with their close peers that they're comfortable with and say, okay, this is where I'm struggling. I need to find something that I can do to answer my own needs and look to be more self-sufficient. And yes, we can provide everything and we can work our tails off to do whatever we can want to do and need to do. But in the end, we also need them to come forth and be like, okay, I want to be an active participant in this. I know this is my need. I need to be an active participant. How can we go about addressing that?
One of the things that strikes me as I've listened to the conversation here and looked at kind of what you're talking about, and it would be interesting to look more into, is it looks like there could potentially be a changing of values to where late career teachers were saying, well, I value winning this competition. I want to win the livestock show. I want to win 7 LDEs. I want to have 49 American degree winners. I want to do all these things. And that's the thing I value. And early career teachers are saying, I'm valuing reaching every student in my classroom, making sure that the classroom is tight and that we're providing a learning experience from there. And that may be part of that disconnect with the respect. Maybe administrators now are saying, hey, we're looking at what are we doing every day to every student in every classroom? How are we engaging them? And they're not seeing them, and they're not valuing as highly as in the past of, oh, look, you've got 97, district winners to whatever else, but it's the same 4 kids. And so I think there should be some conversations there around, well, maybe there's not just a disconnect here on this is good and bad. It's just changed on what people are seeing as being valued, which then draws their needs. And how do we have that conversation? I think here, we're talking about mentoring. There's an opportunity for early career to get to be mentored by late career, but there's also the opportunity for late career to be mentored by the early career to have those conversations on what do we value about school-based ag education and what's that total picture look like? Or maybe I'm way off. Maybe I'm making things up.
No, I think you're onto something. And I think part of that conversation starts for us here at Oklahoma State with meeting the common need, which is that curriculum resource piece to get them in a room together to try to see what are they wanting and how do we make this work where teachers are for all of them? And then how do we get them to network and support each other through that? What's been interesting is when we first sent this out, we also asked how they felt toward curriculum resources like CASE and ICEV and how are they using them in their classroom. Where late career teachers were a little more reluctant because I don't know that they felt as confident with the level of science that they felt like they would be implementing with changing their curriculum and how they've done it previously. Where early career teachers are kind of hungry and excited to have this as a resource to build on. And I think that's another way that those relationships and those supports can naturally happen. So late career want to engage. They're just nervous about having that network of support as they go through this process. So I think that's for us kind of how we start to build this network and this relationship so that we can start those natural partnerships and mentorships.
Great. Well, Kayla, Chris, and the rest of your crew there, we appreciate the work you're doing there in the great state of Oklahoma. I will not break out into song. Don't worry, Becky. Singing my favorite tunes from the musical Oklahoma. But it is really appreciate y'all sharing your work with us and keep up the great work. I think you've given us a lot to be thinking about as each of us look at how do we meet the needs of our teachers in our various states. I think we're seeing a lot of differences based off of just the situation people are in and how do we help them be successful and understanding what we need to be doing with them. And so, Kayla and Chris, thank you for being here on with us today here on OwlPellets Tips for Ag Teachers podcast.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of OwlPellets. Check out our website for more information on this topic and to learn more about our guests. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to stay connected. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never miss an episode. For Mike and Becky, this is Brian here by the OwlPellets saying thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again on another episode of OwlPellets Tips for Ag Teachers.